I tell you what, the Colts have a game this Sunday, folks. That's right. They head down to Houston and NRG Stadium to take on the Texans. We're going to tell you all about it on today's episode of Locked On Colts. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Colts fans, you're welcome for that intro, but also thank you so much for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match on up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. That's prizepicks.com, promo code LOCKEDON. I am Jake Arthur, joined as always by my partner Zach Hicks, and you guys know us, of course, from horseshoehuddle.com. On today's show, it's time to start looking at this Colts-Texans matchup that we've got on Sunday. We'll give you some background info on it, as well as some of the important things to focus on. So first and foremost, again, it's Sunday. It's a 1 o'clock kick down at NRG Stadium. New head coach in town for the Texans, Lovie Smith. He's been their defensive coordinator for a couple years, so I don't think anything too drastic is going to be taking place. Much of their nucleus is intact. They do have some interesting new players on there, but for the most part, a lot of the names you know and love to see play against the Colts are still out there. Yeah, for the Colts, obviously, it's the first opportunity to officially see Matt Ryan and the new offense at work. Any worries that you guys had before the season, you know, the run game wasn't getting going or the offense looked stale. The defense couldn't stop anyone on the run, this, that, and the other. But be prepared to be pleasantly surprised, because now scheme comes into play, and now rosters that don't have third, fourth stringers out there are taking place. Guys who have chemistry are playing together. So be prepared to be a little surprised. Zach, what are you thinking? What's your biggest thought storyline coming into this one?
Yeah. So I just want to go on what you were just saying there with the scheme comes into play and stuff like that. Frank Reich did have a press conference today, and we're recording this on Labor Day. So he had a press conference on Labor Day. And the biggest thing he said was, like, guys, we were being so generic in the preseason. Yeah. Like he emphasized that a lot. Like, guys, this was extremely generic and basic. We were not trying to do really anything here in the preseason outside of just getting our guys some run. And you could see it. I mean, someone actually mentioned it to me on social media, and I was like, yeah, I mean, it was very obvious, especially in the first game against the Bills. It was a very, very generic game plan just to get these guys some run and let them see some press coverage and stuff like that, as you know, the receivers. But for biggest storyline, I think it's just seeing how this Colts team comes out and plays and gels together. Because like we said all offseason, you know, they are returning most of their core. They're returning most of a team that for a good part of last season was really good. It's just they didn't finish. And they're kind of just infusing these veterans that we all have high expectations for. Matt Ryan, Yannick Ngakoue, Stephon Gilmore, a couple of promising rookies, and Alec Pearson, Nick Cross as well. Just seeing how this team kind of gels together. Because, you know, on one hand, we can say, oh, the preseason was all generic and we didn't get really see much. Well, it's like, all right, let's see what you got here in this first week. Then, you know, because that excuse doesn't work after week one. You know, you can't say, oh, you know, it was just week one or something like that. The biggest thing though with this game, I think, is I feel like, you know, it's always been something that we've talked about in the Frank Reich and Chris Ballard era, is that we need to see the fast starts. We need to finally see this team get off to a fast start. We need to see them win week one of the regular season. But it feels like this offseason in particular, it's been a much bigger emphasis. It's been, you know, every press conference is asked to, like, what are you doing to change these slow starts? And what's your plan for winning week one? I know Jim Irsay's come out and said, we want to win week one. Chris Ballard's come out and said, we want to win week one this year, because it's been so long without winning week one. So I think this game is just an absolutely huge game for for everyone in the front office, for the owner, for the coaching staff, for the new players, because this has been an emphasis all offseason.
Yeah, it would be shocking to see them just come out flat, because it's of course lip service. They say they want to win. Yeah, of course you want to win everything, but like they literally shuffled everything around. In let's look at training camp, for example. They moved practices back a couple hours to get guys more used to performing around the time they'll be playing on game days. You know, obviously they have mostly 1 o'clock kicks. If they're playing in Central Time, it's noon. Pretty much every practice started at noon. They mentioned they wanted to get their circadian rhythm going and go in there. So they really do want to win. And plus, it does not get easier if they drop this one, because this is one of the games on there you circle and say, okay, well, we have to win it, because number one, it's a division game. Number two, they have Jacksonville on the road in the curse game week two. And then week three, they get their first home game. Hooray. But okay, it's against the Chiefs, who is – they're usually the easiest team you can say is going to be good each year in the AFC. So
right,
it's not a fluke. There's a lot riding on this first game. And of course, it's not the end of the world if they do lose, but it's an important game. There's a lot of heft to it.
Well, yeah,
and the defense too.
Yeah, and you know, it's a road division game in week one, so you never want to take those for granted. But it is a situation where, you know, the Colts have won the last four against the Texans by a point differential of 72 points in the last four games. So including last year, where they, in the two games they played against the Texans, they outscored them 62-3. So I mean, the Colts are a much better team than this Texans team, even with the changes at quarterback that the Colts have gone through. So this is a prime opportunity for them to adjust, to you know, change this trend that we've seen in week one, but they still need to go out and do it. I mean, we said this a couple of years ago. Obviously, it was a curse game and it wasn't as known as being the curse game, but a couple of years ago in 2020, we said the same things. You know, oh, they got their new quarterback. It's a good quarterback coming in. They have a chance against the bottom dweller in the division in the Jacksonville Jaguars in week one, and they came out and laid an egg against the Jaguars. So, I mean, obviously anything can happen. It's the NFL. But this is the matchup that you want. The Colts handled this matchup last season very easily, both games. I mean, both games, it wasn't even relatively close. I mean, the Colts were benching their starters with like 5 minutes to go in both of these matchups last season. So this is a prime opportunity, again, for the Colts to finally start off a season on the right track. And again, this is what their emphasis has been. So we're going to do a promo here for Locked On later in the week. But when we talk about what the Colts need to do to win this game, they need to come out early and often and show the Texans and the Colts fans that they are the better team in this game. You know, you need to get out to a one score or a two score lead in the first quarter, and you need to show like, hey, this is our matchup to win. You know, this shouldn't be a close game. And I'm not going to fault them if it is a close game at the end, because again, it's the NFL. Almost every game is a close game. But when your whole offseason emphasis has been, we want to win week one, you're getting a team that you've had a lot of success against, and you're getting a team that's a bottom dweller in the NFL, you need to come out and put your foot down to start the game. And I think that's what they're going to do, but we need to see it.
For sure. And like you said, getting off to a great start would be awesome. But another thing they've had issues with is closing games. So get off to that great start, of course, but then keep your foot on their neck. Like, I don't know what the hang up would be with just being a jerky, aggressive team. Like, be an a-hole when it comes to it. Like, just keep pounding away. Like, because you have to prove that you can win and close out those games. And I can tell you, the Texans aren't going to be taking it lightly either, because Lovie Smith was asked about, you know, that huge differential in the losses last year. And they very much have this game circled. It's another reason that Jacksonville lost in week 18 was kind of a blessing in disguise, because the Colts had no business losing it, and they lost it in the absolute worst manner. So they don't get to take it easy in any matchups this year. Like, because we've seen what it can look like when they do.
Right. And the last thing I'll just say about this is, you know, I know I'm talking like the Texans, the Colts beat them 62-3 last year. And obviously they are, in my opinion, still one of the bottom teams in the league, but they did get better this offseason. You know, they're not this atrocious, you know, cakewalk team that maybe they were even last year. I mean, even last year, they started putting up some fights in the second half of the season, but, you know, they're not this cakewalk team. And Lovie Smith is a great coach. Pep Hamilton, I think, is going to be a good offensive coordinator. So I think, you know, there's a lot to like, I think, with this Texans team. But the Colts should handle this game. And that's the biggest storyline. Just come out fast and put your foot down early and show that, hey, we are the better team.
Yeah, we're going to dive into that in more detail soon, especially we'll start out on the offensive side of the ball. But speaking of the offensive side of the ball for the Colts in this one, you know, the NFL season, of course, we were talking about it begins this week. I'm feeling picky. That's right. The more or less is set at 100.5 yards rushing for Jonathan Taylor against the Texans on Sunday. I don't know yet how I'm going to choose that one, but it's intriguing nonetheless. This whole thing is easy to do on Prize Picks. If you want to do some last-minute picking, hopping on the Prize Picks app is just so convenient for us. Just pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, 3 P's in a row, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections that are available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. That includes from the highest of highs in the NFL and soccer and everything down to cricket, where you don't really get that in America, but you can bet on it if you want. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. You have safe and fast withdrawals, and they're currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. So if you're listening to us, chances are you can get on Prize Picks. Download the app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, they'll give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign-up for an instant deposit match up to $100. My daughter is letting her case be known here too, so just don't worry about that, guys. She's not a big fan of getting out of the bath and going into bed.
I'm the same way, Jake. I get it.
Yeah, she takes after me. It's fine. Looking at this, the Colts offense against this Texans defense. So obviously you look at Matt Ryan, like that's the biggest change on the Colts offense. But something that's got me a little iffy is, you know, the Colts are working in two new starting offensive linemen in Matt Pryor and Danny Pinter. And, you know, Matt Pryor at left tackle being one of them, I kind of fear the Texans pass rush a little bit because they've been able to get to the Colts. Jonathan Grenard is still there. They have Ogbo Okoronkwo now, Jerry Hughes. They did have Jacob Martin. I don't think he's still there, but they've been able to get to the Colts regardless of offensive line protection, it seems. And with guys who don't even really have the name recognition, and they kind of have a decent cast of characters still. So that's one thing that's got me worried. What do you think? I can see you're kind of iffy on
that. I mean, look, to be fair, a lot of their pressures last year against the Colts came against the traffic cone that was Eric Fisher. Okay. I mean, don't get me wrong. Jacob Martin had a couple of nice little rushes against Brayton Smith. Jacob Martin's a really good pass rusher. If he's still there, then yeah, I don't think he is. And I think they have some decent players. Like, I'm not trying to say that the Texans don't have anyone up front, but I think if you are at the point where you're scared of this Texans pass rush, then almost any pass rush is going to scare you, you know? Because I think even Jacksonville the next week has a better pass rush than them, you know? Because Jacksonville's going to roll out Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker the next week.
That's a significant difference.
right. Yeah. So, when you're looking at this Texans defensive line, I think they have some decent players, but I don't think there's anyone really there to scare you. The interior defensive line really isn't that scary either. But, you know, I was looking at a lot of film today. I was looking at how the Colts kind of found success last season against the Texans defense. And honestly, on offense, it was pretty smooth sailing. I mean, Carson Wentz, had 117 passer rating in the two games. I don't think he threw a pick in the two games. Jonathan Taylor was dominant in both games. He had 288 yards rushing combined in the two games for 4 touchdowns. And they were able to kind of do whatever they wanted. I mean, it was actually really fascinating too, because when you look at kind of how the passing game was different from the first matchup to the second matchup, I thought it was really interesting. The first matchup, the Texans were heavy, like two high safety cover two type defense, you know, Lovey Smith defense, you know, yeah. Tampa too. Everything you would expect from Lovie Smith. So what did the Colts do? They had a lot of deep passing concepts where they were stressing one side of the field, one safety, you know, and then we saw in the Paris Campbell touchdown where they had two deep routes going to one side of the field. And that safety bit up. Paris Campbell went over the top, easy touchdown. There was a play to T.Y. Hilton that was a phenomenal throw by Carson Wentz. You know, for all the things we say about Carson Wentz in here, just a phenomenal throw. It was a sales concept where they attacked one safety. The safety bit up. Carson Wentz hit T.Y. Hilton over the top. That was the first matchup. The second matchup, the Texans were more of a single high man coverage defense, like very, very different defense. Lovie Smith adjusted. Yeah. So what did Frank Reich do? A lot of RPOs, a lot of bunch sets, a lot of switch releases off the line, stuff like that. A lot of natural pick plays to create guys open. So this is kind of my way of saying Frank Reich is an outstanding scout and just understands how to adjust. But even when the Texans tried something different late in the season, the Colts did adjust. And even though the passing game wasn't as explosive in that later season matchup, it still was quite effective and stuff like that. So, you know, this Texans defense, I don't know which one we're going to get. If we're going to get that too high Texans defense, or we're going to get a single high and more man coverage. Mm-hmm. I do know the Texans got a much better secondary this year than they did last year with Derek Stingley and Jalen Petre coming in.
Yeah.
Very, very solid young players that I think are wowing a lot of Texans people right now. But I'm not too concerned with the Texans pass rush, just to kind of bring it all back to what you were just starting off with there. I'm not too concerned about the Texans pass rush or really their secondary, because Frank Reich kind of showed last year that whatever the Texans really threw at them, the Colts were able to kind of adjust and kind of do what they wanted.
So what you're saying is Frank Reich knows how to beat a Lovie Smith defense.
Yeah. And, you know, it's
regardless of how it's schematically put together.
It's tough to say, because I think Lovie Smith's an outstanding coach and coordinator. I mean, honestly, again, we're talking about a guy who had so much success with the Tampa 2. I mean, he took the Bears to the Super Bowl, you know, a decade ago against the Colts. I mean, obviously they lost the game, but I mean, you had been coaching a really good defense. For him to come back to the NFL after years away and halfway through the season just throw out what he was used to doing and switch to more single high man coverage, stuff like that. And honestly, their defense was better down the stretch than what it was at the beginning of the year. So they actually improved quite a bit. You know, they had some players break out in that secondary. I think they're at the slot corner is a really good player. I think it's like Travarius Thomas, I think is his name.
Desmond King now too.
Yeah, Desmond King is coming back too. So, I mean, they have some players. And Lovie Smith, hats off for an older coach kind of adjusting what he did. But ultimately, I just don't think they really have the talent to match up with Frank Reich's ability to get guys open. And we kind of saw that last year. And I think with Matt Ryan, because the second matchup, the Colts passing game struggled a little bit more because it was more man beaters. It was more like run after catch stuff. And that's just not what Carson Wentz was great at. With Matt Ryan, if they want to do more man coverage, Matt Ryan's going to make them pay with a lot of more mesh stuff, a lot more hitting the running backs and stuff like that. So I do think the Colts are going to be ready for whatever the Texans throw at them. But honestly, when I look at this Texans defense, the only thing that kind of scares me is, you know, Derek Stingley and Jalen Petre are both very tantalizing rookies who could be productive players. So they do worry me a little bit. You know, maybe they could get in there and make some plays, but as long as they're getting the misdirection game going and they're getting some good push on their duo runs with Jonathan Taylor and they're working that play action and mesh game in the passing game, I really don't see the Colts offense slowing down too much of this one.
I'm glad you mentioned those guys, because I was going to ask you about that. And just with their, you know, remaining time here talking about offense, any concern about what Jonathan Taylor might be able to do?
No, I mean, he literally was able to do whatever he wanted. I mean, the last 2 years, he's kind of been able to do whatever he wanted against this Texans defense. Back in 2020, it was a lot of the duo and power runs that he was really effective. This is actually where we saw Jonathan Taylor really break out in 2020. It started with those Texans games where the Colts were really utilizing duo. They were getting that vertical displacement, and Taylor was able to do what he could do. And then last year, it was a lot more of misdirection, a lot more you know, outside toss plays, a lot more. There was a split zone run that he had an 88-yard carry last season in the first matchup. So, you know, it's Jonathan Taylor we're talking about, so obviously he's going to find success either way. But I think this matchup always favors him well, because the Texans don't really have, like, they don't really have this overly physical, reactive linebacker. They don't have a really stout interior game either. They're a solid defense. Like, don't get me wrong, I think they're going to be a better defense this year, but they don't really have any kind of game records on the defense that's going to slow down the Colts running game.
Yeah, I think Kamu Grugier-Hill, he pops off the screen to me every time. It seems like he'll have a lot of tackles, but he alone will not be able to stop Jonathan Taylor or Nyheim Hines for that matter, because it's probably going to be it's probably going to be a good one for Naheem as well, if I had to guess.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's probably about the only thing I would worry about defensively for me is if they got leaky with the pass rush again. But it sounds like from what you're saying, they know how to counter that.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say the Colts are going to come out and just cakewalk, you know, to the end zone every single time. But I do have high expectations for the offense this game. I do think this offense is built to handle the Texans defense. And, you know, while we're talking about things that we're built to do and stuff like that, if you guys haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. It's delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite, cookie dough chunk puffs, which have a light and chewy texture. Real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories, and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. Run to Built.com to snag a box for you and the whole family. It will be the perfect treat. You're going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff, whether you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or just need to grab a quick bite to eat. Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, the fats, and the sugar. Grab yourself a Built bar. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKEDON15, and get 15% off your order. Use promo LOCKED15. All right, getting to the Colts defense here. Now, I haven't done super extensive film study on the Texans offense yet. I have obviously remember what I watched last year, and I've done a little bit of research, but I mean, again, the Colts only held them to 3 points last season. It really wasn't, yeah. It wasn't too competitive. The Colts defense forced a lot of turnovers. I think they forced five in two games last season.
Mm-hmm.
Davis Mills, I think, played six quarters of those two matchups. Tyra Taylor played the first two of the first matchup. It really wasn't a close game at all. Is there anyone on the Texans offense for you, Jake, that kind of stands out as like, okay, the Colts should be worrisome? And is it just Brandon Cooks?
Yeah. So obviously Brandon Cooks is like the first guy you look at. And I was thinking of that as well, but he's kind of no doubt their top guy. I kind of think, I mean, Stephon Gilmore is the logical choice to put on him, but like obviously right. Kenny can do it as well whenever he's going to go into the slot. Nico right. Collins is intriguing as well. I've heard a lot of buzz about him all offseason. There's a lot of expected growth there from him, so he's an intriguing guy. If I remember correctly, coming out of Michigan, height, weight, speed guy.
Yeah, it was a very much a yeah. Bill DeBallard type guy too. He
yes,
got a lot
yeah.
of what so, the Colts like.
Yeah, he's a really intriguing player. I don't think it's just going to be Brandon Cooks that they have to worry about. Their tight ends have gotten interesting too. They have Farrell Brown there. Brevin Jordan, he's someone who started to make noise, especially later in the year. And they have OJ Howard now as well, which is intriguing, but not. It's not.
How much will he play though? He just got signed. You know, he just
yeah,
got
exactly.
Signed,
so who knows? He just got yeah. there exactly. And I really am waiting to see Damian Pierce, this running back out of Florida, because. He's from a fantasy perspective, he's one of the hottest names at running back in the entire NFL. I think people are just really waiting to see what he looks like as the starting running back for the Texans. And yeah. of course, Davis Mills, I think you can probably shed a lot more on Davis Mills, but he's one of those guys who's better than people know. And yeah. I think people are expecting a bigger jump and for more people to recognize his playmaking ability, I guess, in year two.
Yeah. He's super interesting because I think to some mm-hmm. people he's very overrated. And to other people I think he's very underrated. I think anyone who says he's the most promising of the rookie class from last year, I think that's very wrong. I think to me, just generally watching each of these quarterbacks, you know, I think Trevor Lawrence did more to impress me. I think even Justin Fields and some did a little bit more to impress me, and I think Mac Jones obviously did a lot more to impress me than Davis yeah. Mills, but. For anyone who thinks, oh, this is just a mid-round pick guy who doesn't belong, I think Davis Mills played some good football last year. He had a couple of good mm-hmm. stretches. Obviously, those games didn't come against the Colts. He struggled a right. lot in the two Colts games, but mm-hmm. I think there's something there. I don't know if it's anything more than a decent starter at best. Like I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be anything more than that, but I do think there is something there. I think he's a decent quarterback prospect. that they need to keep giving time to. I want to see if his accuracy and his placement gets a little bit better this season. But if for anyone thinking that this is just some terrible quarterback, like obviously it's going to be one of the easier quarterbacks the Colts play this year. But anyone thinking that this is like a non-rosterable quarterback playing, you know, it's not that bad. You know, I think he's going to be better than that. When it comes to Damian Pierce, I think a big part of that conversation for me is the Texans offensive line potentially being a lot better. You know, they finally have Titus Howard out at tackle. Hopefully they keep him there because, I mean, again, I don't ever want the Texans to do great things, but Titus Howard's a guy where they've put him at almost all five spots on the offensive line. They've really skewed and messed up that development for a young player who, you know, whenever he's been at tackle, he's shown some good promise. So I think he's out at right tackle now. I think that's where they're going to keep him.
Yeah,
I kind of like Titus Howard. Yeah, I kind of like him. They got Kenyon Green, who was the number one interior offensive lineman that I graded in the Indy draft guide. I was very, very high on him. And that's actually something that I was going to point out is, you know, DeForest Buckner, the last 2 years has been so, so good against the Texans. I mean, I think this is just me going off the top of my head, so someone will have to fact check me here, but I think Buckner has like 9 sacks the last 2 seasons against the Texans. Like it is a ton of sacks and pressures against the Texans. So I'll probably
that fact seems check right. That
yeah, because I think there was a game in 2020 where he had like 3, right when he came back from injury. So he's been super productive against the Texans in his career. Now adding a guy like Kenyon Green. Now I'm not gonna say Kenyon Green's gonna step in on day one and handle DeForest Buckner, but it's different than when he was going against Max Sharping and you know, all these other guys that he was going against. So I do think the Texans O-line's a little bit better. I think Brandon Cooks is a very solid receiver, but I don't really see too much of a threat here on this Texans offense. And I think at the end of the day, you know, you could say, oh, Damian Pierce, I think is interesting, but you know, them rushing against Bobby Okereke, Grover Stewart, and DeForest Buckner, that's just a tough ask. You know?
Right.
It's a tough ask. And then I do think they can get some yards through the air. I mean, the second matchup last year, Davis Mills, I think, threw for 277 yards. Now, a lot of that did come in garbage time, but he did get something going in the second half of that game. But I just don't know. Again, it's really tough for me to look at this Texans team and say that, you know, they're better than the Colts or that they can beat the Colts. And this is not me trying to be a homer. Like, I try to look at these things objectively, and I do like some things about this Texans team, but they just feel like they're a year away from being a year away, you know, with a lot of
they're still very much growing.
Right. They're super interesting. They're super interesting. And I'm really curious where they'll be from a year in a year from now. But when I look at this team on film and when I look at this team just on paper and statistically, the Colts really can't drop this game.
No,
they really can't drop this game.
It would be, I mean, it wouldn't be a worse loss than the Jaguars loss just because of what was on the line. But in terms of talent like this, it would be disgusting if they lost this game.
Right, because it's not even like what it was in, like in 2020, for instance, the Texans, I don't think they were a good team that season. But they had Deshaun Watson. So if they beat you, it's like, okay, you know.
They were in any game,
Yeah, you got beat by an alien at quarterback. It makes sense. Now, like, if you lose to this Texans team, I don't really see what, like, outside of it just being, oh, week one, you know, because weird things happen week one. I just, you know, we've been going through offense and defense here and talking about where the Colts had success last year. But again, I just get back to it. I know I keep hyping on this. The Colts, this team has not been close with the Colts last season. And yes, they added a couple of interesting players and a lot of interesting young players and a couple, you know, free agents, you know, like Okonkwo and all those guys. Like, they added some decent players, you know, in free agency. But I just don't think that it's enough to close how big this gap was last season, especially when you factor in the Colts added some players. So, you know, we can go offense and defense and go position by position, but I don't know. I really don't see how the Texans beat this Colts team unless Matt Ryan comes out and he's just absolutely a train wreck. I just don't see it, man. I don't see it.
No, I think you're right. I think regardless, the Colts win, but the difference between it being a blowout and the Colts just kind of playing cat and mouse with them would be making sure the Colts pass rush gets home. If that's working, it's a wrap. Davis Mills is still a young quarterback. And from remembering from watching him, you rattle those guys and you get like turnovers on turnovers piling up by getting in their face. So right. It doesn't have to be everyone, but DeForest Buckner being disruptive up front, or Ngakoue being disruptive, or Pay, whoever it is, any sort of consistent pass rush where Mills is going to be looking left or right and he doesn't have an escape route, that's going to be the difference between it being a potential, you know, 3-score difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the Colts will win regardless, but as long as that pass rush gets home, they should kill it, I would imagine.
Yeah, last thing I'll say before we close out the show is this is a great measuring stick for the Colts pass rush. We've talked all offseason. The Colts pass rush should be better. Gus Bradley's better for this pass rush. Yannick Ngakoue, Quiddy Pate breakout. You got to show it in week one. This is the game to show it. You know, this Texans offensive line, it's better than what it was last year, but it's nowhere near the tops in the league. You know, it's a middling line at best. You got to show it if that this improvement's actually happening, or it's going to be the same issues as last season.
Yeah, we got to know if that pass rush is legit, that's for sure. And on that note, that is it for us. We're going to be back with you tomorrow to break down even more of this. You know, we've got more Texan sources to speak with throughout the week. We got a lot more stuff to bring you guys about this matchup. Yeah, and then, of course, on Twitter, if there's anything you guys want to know specifically about this matchup or the Texans in general, just let us know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, you guys can follow our work on horseshoehuddle.com. I actually did just post an article breaking down what the Colts had success with last season against the Texans, the Colts offense had success with. So you guys can check that out. It's kind of a lot of what I was just saying there earlier in this podcast. You can check out our social medias on Twitter, at JakeArthurNFL, at ZachHicks2. Follow or subscribe to our channel here on YouTube. I think we're at like 1,100 now. 1,100 subscribers.
Yeah, I think we're over 1,100. Yeah, kind of a awesome. Big deal, folks.
Kind of a big deal, guys. We're in the top million of channels here on YouTube. So I think I don't even know if we're actually that high. But
oh gosh, no.
But you guys are awesome. Keep subscribing to the channel. Wherever you listen, rate, review, subscribe to the show. Leave us your comments. You know, you can message us on social media. I know I have my DMs open and stuff like that. I'm not the best at responding, but please, you know, I will try my best. I will try my best. Thanks again for making Locked On Colts your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, go check out the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022, an 8-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NFL season. The local team experts of Locked On Podcast Network, plus a betting angle from Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, all combining into one ultimate NFL preview. Search for Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you guys tomorrow.